Welcome to Packolution. In this podcast series, you'll hear the experts of the packaging industry talking about sustainability and the future of packaging. It is brought to you by Vatron and hosted by one of its founders, Michaela Wachtel, and sales director, Ton Kniepscher.
Hi. Welcome to another episode of Packolution, the disruptive podcast brought to you by Vatron. Today we have Ansgar Schoenlau, Managing Director and owner of Maag Flexible Packaging, as our guest. Welcome, Ansgar.
Thank you, Tom.
Can you tell us a bit more about your professional background and in what part of the industry your company is active?
Yeah, I'm in Maag now since 2009, so about 12 years. I studied in Stuttgart until 93. Economy and engineering. And after that, I went into the industry of printing and packaging. So meanwhile, I have a experience of about or almost 30 years in the packaging industries. During those times, I learned to know profitable and non-profitable organizations, the difference between them. And I came in contact with bankruptcy managers, learned how to streamline processes and so on. Also, lean management, which is today a very important part of my business life. This is the knowledge that I brought to Maag. And Maag, in 2009, was a medium-sized company of about 130 people with all the challenges that the packaging industry has faced about the last 20 years. Globalization has also come to our industries and was very difficult for our companies to accept and to change attitudes and behaviors. So also in Maag, there was a big need and demand for change. And this was a point for me to come in and to reorganize the company. Maag is manufacturer of flexible packaging. We do not extrude our films, which is a big difference to other companies in our market. In some parts, of course, it has disadvantages because you are not so close to the development of the film itself. But on the other hand, facing the rapidly changing demands in the market, it's also an advantage because we can rely on good partners and can react on market developments much faster than anybody else. So at the end of the day, I think our constellation is an ideal one to react on the circularity demands of today's economy.
You know, what's really amazing is that you have completely transformed your company in terms of sustainability. How did you do that and which steps are essential for success?
It was very necessary for us to change and to renew our company because due to financial needs. In the beginning, it was a must because moving on the old track would have meant that this would not have led to a good result. So we had to change. Due to my experiences, especially in lean management, I think, yeah, we had a good goal, which we explained to all our people inside the organization. What we always said is that we have a goal, that we need our people, our employees here as partners in a team. And that we only could gain or reach the goal if our team partners are part of the development. So from the beginning, we always set our emphasis on the team spirit of people here in the organization. In the beginning, what we did is we brought out everything that was not relevant to the focus of our company, so our core competencies. We took everything out that which was not really necessary. This means products, machinery, also markets. We took everything out which was not really relevant to the result. In the second step, we implemented a strategy process where we told our people we have a goal and everybody of our employees has to tell his part how to reach the goal, to define a strategy. And based on that, we did it as a team, as I said. We came forward and based on lean management, the background of lean management is that you have to become a very sustainable company and be ethical relevant to the environment. There we really succeeded that within 2-3 years, we earned money again, which didn't happen for a long period before. And by that, we were able to renew our technology. After three further years, we were state of the art in terms of technology. And including the process organization, which we implemented, we really got the chance to get a space of time where we could think about new sustainable goals. And when the plastic strategy of the EU Commission came in, we were prepared because we had enough time to try to understand what the goals of the plastic strategy and the Green Deal of the EU meant. And we could find solutions for that in terms of processes and products as well.
You mentioned lean management a few times. Most people know lean management from the automotive industry, but not so much in the packaging industry. How did you transfer the lean management into the packaging industry? Because the packaging industry was kind of, we've always done it this way, why change? How did you transfer it?
My first experience also here in Mark, as in many companies before where I came in, that when I announced my goals or the goals that we wanted to reach together, people said, this is not possible in my industry. This is not possible in my company. And this is a very typical behavior, I would say, in human life. Yeah, it was the most important aspect to change the mindset of people. Bringing everybody into the team. This was a major point to convince people that they are part of a system, that everybody is important and that no one is more important than the other. He's only sitting in another position. When we set our goals, the first point was we wanted to fulfill customer expectations. This was in the middle, and maybe many people talk about it, but we had a way of how to do it. The first one was to say, okay, we want to do it, but with as little amount of work or energy as possible. We wanted to avoid any waste in any relation. We said that we wanted to base our company on a zero mistake base, which meant that all deviations in terms of behavior or production were opportunities to improve our relation to the customer, finally, and that based on this, also the whole performance of the company in terms of economical, ecological, and social aspects had to improve. And this was for our team a goal which they wanted to reach. And then we tried to find measures together, how to set milestones to come on the right track and to reach one goal after the other. And the result today is that we are here and that I think we can say that today we are a sustainable company with climate neutrality since 2021 and products which are circular.
Impressive.
So you already said something about your sustainability path, about what you have done at Mark in order to become sustainable. And you also talked about waste and you just mentioned the term circular economy. Maybe you can elaborate a little bit on that. Do you have a suggestion for creating a functioning circular economy? Because we say we have a circular economy, but obviously it's not that efficient yet. Maybe you have some ideas on that.
Yeah, we are following the plastic strategy of the EU Commission. That means in the first hand, we try to avoid plastics wherever it's possible. But we don't do it on the normal way that we say we don't make a thick bag thinner, because this is tried and done for the last 30, 40 years in our industry. We say by streamlining processes, organizing our cooperation with our customers on standardized processes, we can automize and digitize, and therefore save a lot of waste or obsolete plastics on this way. On the material side, on the product side, we are based on polypropylene materials, which is separate or different from, I would say, more or less most of our competitors. The packaging industry with the extruding film companies is mainly based on polyethylene, but we are convinced that polypropylene offers much more opportunities in terms of packaging production and for the second life or related to the second life, also capabilities that the resin of the recyclate can be used in the second market. We don't think that the traditional way of production of packaging will lead to the same goal. And therefore, we say, we are convinced that we have found a solution now which is a combination of processes and products, and which leads to the result of a circular economy. As I explained, MAC is based on polypropylene films. Today, more than 95% are based on this material. And if you want to bring the packaging products in future into monomaterials, we think that polypropylene has the best advantages and qualities in terms of physical, chemical, optical, and mechanical requirements. With this, we see today, we have made many industrial tests and also launched it into products in the market, that polypropylene offers almost a whole range of packaging types for almost all kinds of markets in the food and related industries like hygiene or technochemical products. I think this is the goal, that we have to limitate the variance of different polymers and come to basic high volume streams, which makes it much easier for the recycling industry to manufacture it and to recycle it. Other materials, we don't see that they offer the whole range of requirements within the whole supply chain. That means, of course, you can find solutions, let's say island solutions, that fulfill the next requirement that is directly in front of you, but that within the whole value chain, it makes more problems than anything else. So we all have to keep our view on the whole value chain. It does not make sense if I solve my problems or the next ones, but not the whole chain.
Yeah, correct. That's what we hear as well. We also sometimes hear the greenwashing term in connection to the packaging industry, which usually means that producers are using a different material that is supposedly more eco-friendly than the other material, but in fact it's not. What examples of greenwashing in terms of packaging have you encountered in your sector? And is there anything MAC as a company can do to prevent something like that?
That's a good question, because it already starts with what is greenwashing. The whole situation is very complex. It took even ourselves as so-called experts 3-4 years to understand the whole value chain and to find solutions which fulfills everybody's requirements. So if really everybody who does a wrong step is greenwashing, that's a question which I would say no, probably there are some solutions which happened by chance. But if you, for example, look at the latest market development with the paper laminates, that means materials that seem to be paper, but in fact are more or less papers laminated against plastic. There, I must say, this should be clear to everybody who uses it, that this is not a recyclable material, that this is really greenwashing, and that monomaterial plastic solution is always better than such packaging type. I see that there are also deviations from this black and white explanation, plastic laminates. There are also coated papers in the market. So there you always have to wonder, is there anything different than paper in it? And I would say in many cases, it is a fact that they still need some kind of plastics, which make recyclable either difficult or impossible.
It's a consumer perception, which the industry tries to follow, of course.
The industry tries to follow the requirements of the end user, and many end users still are of the opinion that paper is a better material. In fact, you cannot say that in general. It can be in some market segments, but it's not a general statement. And in many aspects, plastics is due to much lower weight and energy demand in production is a much better solution. So plastics is not a problem, in my opinion, but good plastics is a part of the solution.
As you mentioned, if you have a monomaterial plastic, which is fully recyclable, and you change that for a laminate with paper, you may give the consumer the idea, the perception that this is eco-friendly, but in fact, it's a laminate, therefore not or very difficult to recycle, correct?
Yeah, it's one part of the major problem. We also still have about 40% of mixed plastics in the packaging market today. And these, together with the paper laminates, they are a problem for recycling. And we have to replace them by monomaterials. And there, as I said, by our polypropylene approach, we can solve most of the problems. I would estimate that from these 40% in the market today, we can replace 80% by monomaterials, which can be recycled mechanically. So we don't need anything else. We don't need on that chemical recycling to solve the problem. We only have to focus on monomaterials.
Mm-hmm. In effect, that means that these 80% are currently overspecced in their packaging.
Definitely, yes. There are a lot of approaches how to do it. Sometimes there are traditional requirements of the specifications, which if you ask for them, is it really necessary? Everybody could say, yes, no, they are not that relevant, but they come from the past. And this is the only reason that they also should be continued in the future. And this does not work. We have to renew everything.
Yep, fit for purpose. It has to be brought and has to be addressed every year or every so many years to look at again for the packaging.
Yeah. Correct. Absolutely correct. Yeah.
And I also think that the consumer has to be more aware of the packaging because from the consumer side of view, a lot of things are paper nowadays and people just put their things into the paper bin, but there's so much plastic in it and they just don't know because it has the look of a paper packaging. Exactly. And I think there needs to be more awareness for that also.
Yeah. On the other end, you must say the topic is very complex. And can we really expect from the customer or the end user that he should become an expert on the packaging? I think that the end user was instrumentalized over the years by some stakeholders to change the existing situation. And of course, we have a problem with laminates or mixed plastics, or we have a problem with plastics coming into the environment. This is clear. But I think we should make the end user responsible for the solutions on that. This is a task of the industry. I even would like to ask the end user to ask us to find solutions, but not to give us the solution beyond, because this is exactly what happens. Some people say, without knowing the background, paper is a better material, so they require brand owners and discounters to move into that direction. It would have been much better to require we need an environmental free surrounding of free of plastics. Or waste in general, but not explaining the experts how to reach that goal. This will not work because it's too complex.
We should have the goal and not the way to get there.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a really complex topic and really interesting, I find every time. But maybe let's talk again about Mark. Your company claims to be really family friendly, and I know that a lot of companies claim to be family friendly, and it always sounds very nice, but maybe you can tell us what this means in daily life at Mark.
Yeah, when I tell it during my presentations, some people are smiling because it's sometimes a bit difficult to understand the background of it. The point is, in our lean management philosophy, we think that economical, ecological, and social requirements are parts of the same chain. And that if one of the parts of the chain is weakening, then the whole chain is weak. So we must bring them on the same level. And if we only focus on economical figures, then we will have another problem at the social end of it. Everybody knows that today it's very difficult to get qualified people. What is happening everywhere, and we have to find solutions on that. So focusing on the social aspects of economy is very important, and therefore we have a strong eye on it. Of course, it's always inside the borders of the possible. We are in an industry which is a little bit in a sandwich position between the big refiners and the big brands. So cost pressure is there. But inside this, you can create a lot of solutions which make it much easier for employees and people to work and to give their best knowledge to the company. So for us, it starts already when we try to look for new people here for our company. We are not looking for the best experts, because we are convinced what we do here is not rocket science. It's with a good knowledge of technology and backgrounds, you can work here. What we are looking at is team spirit. We need people who are able to work in our team and give their best knowledge into the team. And if they get on the other side beneficials from our side in terms of home office or many other aspects, it's not money at all. Money is one part, an important part of the things that we have to offer, but it's not the only and not the major. To have a situation where people like to work, where they have fun to bring their best to the company.
Mm-hmm. I think that sounds really good. And those are some good aspects when you talk about also keeping employees, not only hiring them, but you also have to make sure that you keep them.
That's very inspiring.
And another thing that caught our eye when walking through your company, everyone wears white clothes. So what is that all about?
That's true. Everybody, including me, myself, everybody stay wearing white clothes, which is, of course, sometimes a little bit difficult for our people in production when they are to do with printing eggs. There are several approaches of them. The first is everybody is white because everybody is in our team. Everybody has his position, but nobody is more important or less important than the other. We are everybody parts of a machinery. The second point is a marketing argument, because we are convinced we have a good conscience working with plastics and offering plastic packaging to the market. We don't think that we are a problem. We think that our recyclable or circular solutions are part of the solution, of the final solution for circularity. And the third point is, again, back to the lean management idea of zero mistake. We are convinced that if everything is running fine without deviation, then nobody could get dirty. That means the other way around. If we find on white clothes, which is more sensitive than anything else, any dirt, ink, or anything else, then something must have gone wrong. Our point is we would like to understand from our people what has gone wrong and how can we all work together to make this mistake not happen for the second time. So it's not a matter of anybody being guilty. It's a chance to be more profitable and more ecological and more social in the future. And if everybody comprehends it this way, then this is a base for continuous improvement of the company. Yeah, and everybody can contribute to this goal. This is the idea.
Staying in the colors a bit, you mentioned, we talked about the white clothes, but you also mentioned the Green Deal from the EU. How is Mark prepared for the Green Deal that the EU Commission is now trying to bring upon us?
One major aspect of the Green Deal is the plastic strategy that was implemented, I think, in 2018. And when you see the waste pyramid, then you can bring in all your creativity, which I tried to explain earlier. When the EU Commission writes avoiding plastics or avoiding waste, then the typical translation is we should avoid plastics. Waste has much more aspects. It's avoiding storing, it's avoiding waste of energy. There are many aspects which you can find in the lean management approach. So in this small triangle, you really can find all aspects which relate to the Green Deal on the one side and to a sustainable, I even would say ethical, understanding of economy. And therefore, I think we are well prepared because we bring these aspects together.
That's a good point that you mentioned earlier, the ethical aspect of it, because the Green Deal has a lot of ethical responsibilities for entrepreneurs, correct? But we also talked about one of the topics would be that the packaging needs to be designed for recycling. Do you have an opinion on that?
that is a point which is the most complicated for our industry in general. In the past, as I said, we were in a sandwich position where we got pressure from both sides, but where we had the advantage that we only had to deal with given instructions and find solution for given instructions. Mm-hmm. This has completely changed. Now we are partners in a value chain and our partners expect solutions from our industry. This is a completely different approach compared to the past. And this made it so difficult, I think, for our industry to change attitudes. We are forced to find packaging which can have a second life at the end of the day. It's not only necessary that the packaging works, but that also the people who are dealing with recycling, with sorting, with recycling, and with the recyclates, that they can live with it. And what we did inside Mark, we established good contacts to the recycler industry. They are, meanwhile, one of my personal most contacts every day. I learned so much of them, which I really didn't understand and know. And they themselves the other way around. And afterwards, talking to the people using recyclates, we learned many things which were, I thought, clear to us, but which were not understood correctly. Mm-hmm. So we have to talk. And I didn't mention it earlier, but I think it's a base of everything. The 17 goals of the United Nations, the Sustainability Development Goals, they are base for everything. And if you see the 17th goal, this is called partnership. So nobody's important in his own environment only. He's important in the whole value chain. And we have to create partnerships because nobody knows everything. But if we all put our best knowledge together, then we have the solutions. Coming back to the expression of design for recycling, this is completely different to the past. Therefore, we were responsible for design for packaging. Now they expect us to look 3-4 steps behind that. It's difficult in the beginning, but if you do it, then you find that you can really put all your creativity in, and then it's really exciting.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. Yeah. Well, it leads us to the end of this episode of Packolution. Is there anything you would like to add or point you would like to elaborate on in this aspect of packaging? Because so far we've touched on quite a lot of things, but and we found it very inspiring, especially your white clothing strategy. But is there anything else you'd like to elaborate on?
This is a good question. I think the most important pack or fact for improving the situation is that we all work together, that we create partnerships within the whole value chain to combine the advantages of all parts and bring them in line. What we definitely should do is keep it simple and stupid. I'm not convinced that the high capital expenditure projects are the solution for those sustainability projects. On the contrary, I would say sometimes small investments in enhancements, for example, in the packing or packaging lines, can work as a game changer and improves the situation evidently. So I think if we bring those in line, we should make a huge step beyond.
Okay, well, thank you very much for sharing your thoughts and your vision with us and on the how the packaging industry can develop and how you have already successfully turned around your company. Thank you very much, Ansgar, once again. Stay tuned at this channel for more episodes to follow. We have some other very inspiring speakers who will join us in the conversation. So thank you once again and talk soon. Bye-bye.